Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce Podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dag Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dag Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dag Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Well, we are about to be blessed with the word of God. Hallelujah. And this is my favorite part of the service, because in this church we have been blessed with God's best. Hallelujah. And I'm reading a scripture from Luke chapter 4 verse 18. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Hallelujah. This morning you're about to hear anointed words that will bring deliverance, anointed words that will set the captives free, anointed words that will bring liberty, words that will set you on the right path, words that will bring a change in your life, words that will minister to you right at the point of your need. Hallelujah. And I want you to prepare your heart, because there is a minstrel who will minister before we are given the opportunity to hear our pastor. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Cheryl. And just prepare your hearts, because we are about to hear words that will bring healing. Hallelujah.
When I am walking in darkness, when I am This morning, I just want to dedicate this song to Archbishop Big Daddy, Bishop who passed away a week ago, and he was so many things to so many people. But it's also a song that our father wrote, because some of you, when you get into difficult situations, you think that it's the time to leave God. Are you there? So he's giving you the answer. Are you here? That when it's not looking good, just remember the goodness of God is going to keep you going. Is it a good thing to remember? I said, is it a good thing to remember? Because we cannot explain everything. Well, you can explain everything. Hey, we can't explain. Amen. Some people, they're not going to understand why they didn't win the trophy for best basketball. That's fantastic. Are you there? And many times, difficult things happen that we really, really, really do not understand. But we salute this general. We thank God for his life. We thank God for all the things we remember about him. Amen. I believe that I told you that we were going to have him here in a few weeks' time. We didn't know that God had other plans. But the goodness of God. Are you there? Are you there? Life still goes on. And one of the things we thank God for is that he's a very spiritual man. And so we don't have any doubt as to where he is. The loss is ours, but he here. So at least you can put your hands together. Thank God for his life. Pray that you also will pass away as a general of the Lord. Amen and amen. Now, this morning is also Father's Day. Many of you, you celebrate your mothers and you leave your fathers. Because the mothers, we talk to you, we cry with you, you see the expression that you don't know who your father is to you. Are you in the church? This morning, I want you to spend a moment and I want you to pray for your father. Wherever he is, however he is, not only, please bring your volume down for a little, not only your biological father, but also anyone who has been a father figure to you. Because each one of us standing here is the product or the effect of many fathers in our lives. Are you there? Hello? This morning, I want you to just pray for a few minutes. Lift up your father before the throne of God. Thank God for all that he has done in your life. He has given you life. We may have as many eggs as we please, but until a sperm comes in contact with it, there will be no you. Thank God for your father. Thank God that he paid your school fees, if he paid them. Thank God that he gave you a name, if you think that's all he gave you. Thank God that you have a place you belong to because of the father that you have. Father, this morning we are grateful. Thank you for all our fathers. Thank you for those because of whom we have come to be. Forgive us for the times we've not honored them. But this morning we remember our fathers, Lord. Thank you for letting them look after us, provide for us, sometimes go without so much because of us. Thank you, Lord, for all the things they've carried in their hearts. They have not said them, but they've carried all of us. And Lord, we are grateful for them. And as a church, we also want to remember our spiritual father, Bishop Dagwood Mills. And we thank you so much for all that he has been to us, all the sacrifices on our behalf. Lord, we are grateful. Thank you for giving us a father who thinks of us before he thinks of himself, who thinks of you before he thinks of himself. Thank you for him teaching us how to win souls, teaching us how to love you, teaching us how to pray, giving us a church so that we do not become wastrels while we are in school, visiting us, encouraging us, correcting us, coaxing us, giving us a reason to continue. We are grateful and we thank you so much for him. Thank you also, Lord, that for everyone who's lost their biological father here, Father, you are the father of the fatherless. May they experience your love and your fathering through the people that you give them as fathers to replace those that they have lost. We are grateful and we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. And all the saints shall say, amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. Thank you. How many of us have enjoyed Basanta Sunday so far? Yeah. For those of you who are members of this church, but you don't know what you are doing, so you don't even know what a basanta is. A basanta is a group of people. They work on Sundays to make the service work. So some are visible and you've seen them in the course of the service. And there are also some you do not see. And those who you do not see will be presented after I finish preaching. Is that all right? When I say you don't see them, you don't really see the people who do, for instance, the sound. You don't really see them and others. So it's only those who have not had an opportunity. If you had an opportunity to present yourself and you did not, that's just your bad luck. But those who did not have that opportunity are the ones who we're going to be presenting immediately after the service. Now, these are all the people grouping, the groups of people who help us to get things done. And if you are in church, we want to invite you to join a basanta. Amen. Are you there? Beautiful, beautiful. And so far, we've seen some interesting presentations and we've seen interesting things happening. Amen. I noticed, for instance, that some of you did not know that we were going to be judging the basanta. So you came as you are. When it was your time to do something, you were manifesting with your gloomy face after all that has been said. So, Charlie. Hallelujah. Well, it's a pleasure to be back here with you. Amen. And we thank the Lord in all things. I thank you most especially those of you who prayed. Just the day, I believe it was the day after I returned, that an Air India flight went down 30 seconds after takeoff. And you just need to know that every time you move, it is God who's with you. Are you there? When you sit in a bus, there's actually no guarantee that it's reaching where it's going. Yeah. That's why we should be serious. Tell your neighbor, be serious. Those of you who just get up and go, you don't even tell your shepherd or whoever is over you. You don't tell them anything. You just go. It's because you think that you are okay. You see that you're quiet. I don't move without a prayer. I don't. It's either my husband or Bishop Doug or both. I don't just get up and go. Are you there? Yeah. And I sometimes that you'll be told that you should pray for me. Usually I've asked for the prayer because I know that there can be, 1,000 mistakes that can end your life. Are you there? How many of you have been on a plane before? Let me see your right hand up. Have you noticed the silence when the plane is taking off? There's complete silence. Complete, total, absolute silence until we are up. When we are coming down to total, complete, absolute. Yeah. Even the stewards and those who work, they are quiet. They can be chatting. When the pilot announces, cabin crew, take your seats, they have total silence. They will not even talk. Hey, are you in the house? So we just thank God for all that he does. Amen. Now, I had made a mistake when I came in June and I was saying that we're talking about the art of following. It was my mistake. And I'm glad that we have corrected it back to what we're supposed to be preaching. And we've been talking about the anointing and his anointing. Are you there? I need to show you the book because I'm going to preach from it today. The anointed and his anointing. The anointed and his anointing. How many of you know that the anointing is the Holy Spirit? Hey, half of you don't know. In fact, two-thirds of you, Lady Reb, they are just saying you didn't teach them anything. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, this is a scripture that you must remember. I really wish that the ashes could be a little faster. Please, if there's a chair in front of you, can you just fill it for us, so that the chairs that are empty are at the back, then they know what they are doing. Thank you so much for obeying. God bless you. And if you are somebody who should be in a chair and you are elsewhere, I don't mind if someone takes your seat. I really don't mind at all. Because by the time the word is coming, you should be seated. Thank you very much. Beautiful. So now they will not struggle. They can see the chairs at the back easily. All right. Just make their work just a little easier. You know, one time I was sitting somewhere and the Spirit of God told me that I should do something. I should give somebody something. And I was like, oh, but why? Do you know the answer he gave me? The answer he gave me was, because you can. Yeah, because you can. Just because you can do it. So some things you do it just because you can do it. Not because of anything. Not because of what you gain. But you can do. That's all. Amen. So you can rise up from where you are and you can fill a chair bear just because you can. That's all. Thank you. Okay, so let's go back to talking about the anointing, the Holy Spirit. I am all often very jittery when I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit, because there's so much to say. And you can easily go over time and you can easily just keep talking. But let's try. Acts 10:38, this scripture is just a central scripture I want you to remember. Not because it's in the chapter. If you have the book, we're preaching from chapter 21 today. But here, we get a definition of something. How God anointed Jesus Christ. Are you there? Jesus of Nazareth. With what? The Holy Ghost. You see? So the anointing, it's the Holy Spirit we are talking about. It's the Holy Spirit we're talking about. So he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And then we see him doing particular things. I know that there are a lot of young people who imagine that they are anointed. And I'm saying that you imagine, because if it's not doing anything, then it's not the anointing. Is there a wind? The answer is a clear yes or no. We cannot see the wind. We can't catch the wind. But we can feel the wind and we can see what it's doing. Are you with me? So it's not just goosebumps. It's doing something. Who went about? Are you seeing it? Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So the anointing comes, it's for a particular purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe last week you were being taught by Lady Rev about how the anointing creates a room for you. You know, and I'm just taking my beginning from there, because today we're going to be talking about how you can change the level of the anointing. But first you need to see that the anointing, the Holy Spirit, he himself is a gift. And when he comes to you, he gives you a gift. Amen. Many of you are young and you have already sentenced yourself to poverty. Yes. Because when the anointing comes, or when he gives you the gift, usually the gift is what makes a way for you. Usually the gift is what makes a certain room for you. Are you here? So God gives you something. So here you are standing in the 100 Voices choir. Why are you standing there? Because you believe that God has given you a certain gift. So you are an engineering student, but you are singing. You are a medical student, but you are playing an instrument. Usually, the gift he gave you opens doors for you. And many of us who have allowed our gifts to grow, we have found ourselves in places that we did not expect. Am I talking to somebody today? Yeah. Just by using just that gift. And you don't even need a lot of gifts. My whole life, I have only one gift. Yes. Why are you quiet when I say I have only one gift? I have just one. What's the one? What's my one gift? What? Some people say their one gift is dancing. My one gift, I talk. That's all. When I was working, when I was a lay pastor, a lay worker, I was a research officer. Talking. Workshops, this, that, talking. So I realized it that this one, I used to say, in fact, even before I met my husband, I used to say that I will not find a husband because of my height. I won't get a husband because of beauty. I always had friends and sisters who were far more beautiful than I was. But I knew that if only you give me a chance to talk. At the time, I didn't know that it was a gift from the Holy Spirit. Am I talking to somebody? So you think you are doing us. In the way that the people do, they attend me. I don't want to give myself to them. So I'm coming. It's yourself you have done. And so if 20 years from now you are still struggling financially, it's not our fault. Yeah, because you are the one who is imagining that engineering will take care of you. You are the one imagining. The church has become very quiet. Are you there? You will find out that even the subject that you are doing is usually a gift that he gave you that is operating. That's why you are even doing well in that subject. Lady Pastor Mefa, do you do presentations easily? It just works. It's working. That's another speaking. That's all. Yeah. And so it's making a door. And because of that, it makes another door. You are, God has given you speaking, but you said, me, I'm answering. I don't feel like answering. So I'm going to be there. Be there. Be there. Not knowing that all the preachings that you are doing, you know, is God giving you an opportunity to exercise, exercise, exercise. You are using, the day you go and stand there, you are presenting the thing that you've been working, but Charlie, it's fluid. It's fluid because you have rehearsed on it, practiced with it. You sit down. A man's gift maketh room for him. Are you in the church? Hey, you are very quiet. Oh. I can see that you don't like my preaching this morning. Oh, yes. There are many kinds of doctors. Yes. There are some doctors, in fact, it's only because when we go to certain hospitals, they are there. But if they were to open their private clinic, they would be bankrupt. We'll never go there. It's true. It's true. What I'm saying, Dr. Kobe, what I'm saying, is it true or not true? Bankrupt. Because the person had a certain gift. He never developed it. So he cannot talk to people. Doesn't care for anybody. No. If it was not that they have been employed by government, they will never. I even know doctors, and when we get there, we'll ask, who is there? When they say, it's this person, say, I'll come tomorrow. But I know doctors who, a certain doctor I know, he retired. We went to find him in retirement. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The vet who looks after my dogs, she went to have a baby. We said, drop the baby, we need you. She said, oh, I have told my colleague. I said, we don't need your colleague. We don't want your colleague. Because the woman had a gift. Do you understand? And you may think the gift is nothing. But this is the woman, no matter how a dog is, when she appears, the dog will mellow. It will just lie there. It will allow her, she injected, she never needed a rope. Never ever, no matter the dog. Doesn't need a rope, doesn't need to restrain the dog. It's like, you say what, you need to give me injection, here's my balm. It was a gift. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying. Because as the owner, those are the things you don't like. You dread it, having to restrain your animal. And this woman, she'll just be there. Just lie there. She'll do everything. Then she'll chat with the dog. She'll talk with it. Oh, cooks, I'm sorry. Okay. No. Amen. Yeah. Ask your neighbor, what's your gift? Because I tell you, he did not leave us giftless. So this morning, we're going to continue on this series, and we're talking about how to change your anointing level. How to change the level. Because when you change the level, you will see it by the fact that you are even going to different places and even the way people receive you. If you look at our Father, he's also talking, but he's at a different level. Yeah. When he's coming, presidents come out of their office that this man has come. Can you ask your neighbor, who comes out of their, where because you have come? Hallelujah. You know, so when your anointing levels change, you will even see more things. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. And some of you, it's time for you. The anointing level has to change. It has to change. It has to change. Amen. Hey. Wow. Peter was operating at a certain level. When the level changed, even his experiences in life began to change. Are you with me? So what's the first thing? How do you change the level? Number one, by conviction. By conviction. I'm going to read for you two scriptures. Let's read Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Are you seeing it? The Spirit gave them utterance. And Peter was able to now pick it, and from there, he was transformed to somebody who will preach, and 3,000 people will add to the church in a day. So let's look at it. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Peter had preached, and look at what the people said. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? When you have a deep conviction, you see, you can't receive the anointing. These people, they were pricked in their hearts. That means they were convicted by what they heard. There are two kinds of people in this church. Those who are convicted by what they hear and those who are not convicted. Are you there? Uh-huh. So when you are not convicted, you see, you are not convinced that the anointing is what you need. You think you can do some. Here you are, somebody who a mosquito crack can change your grade. I mean, we don't need much to change your life, you know. A mosquito is enough. A mosquito biting you at the right time, in the right way. Oh, yeah. You will have the exam. You will be going out and vomiting and going to the washroom. Sir, you will get a D for the paper that you should have had an A. This is the mosquito that has sorted you out. I'm talking to somebody this morning. So you need to have a conviction that what? That it is the anointing that makes a difference. I think that's what the film stars were also trying to show us. And so are you saying that we shouldn't try to do anything? Your head needs examining. If you didn't prepare the presentation, there's nothing to prepare. There's nothing to do. So you do your part. For some reason, God sort of waits for us or asks us to do our part. The Lord was the one who said, I've come to deliver the Israelites. But if Moses had not lifted his rod over the Red Sea, there would have been a problem. Are you there? He was going to do it, but I said, I need you to lift up the rod. So he needs you to do something. But you need to understand that in spite of what he's given to you to do, that's only a part of the story. And when we are talking to intellectual people, you will see that many feel that it depends on me. It can't depend on you. Why can it not depend on you? Because there are so many things you cannot change. So many things you cannot affect. So many things you cannot do. Are you with me? The brother on his phone, get off it before I do you something. Yeah, you see me, I see you too. Amen. But when you have a conviction that the anointing is what makes the difference, you will keep searching how to go deeper, how to go higher in the things of God, how to go higher in the anointing. Am I talking to somebody here? You will quit cutting things that lead you to God. Many of you, when we say, come for a prayer meeting, you only come if somebody is there to check that you have come. You are a man or a woman without understanding. You don't understand. You think that we have called you to come and dance. You don't understand. You don't understand. Are you in the church? If God does not help you, if God does not help you, I know broke lawyers. There are probably more broke lawyers than rich ones. I know doctors with old cars. I know profs with cars that they have to be pushing to start in the morning. They have to push the car. Oh. How can they push the battery? Oh, windy. Are you here? In other words, if it was just getting a qualification, then Charlie, it should be all right. Are you here? But it takes something, and that something is what is called an anointing. And so when you know that is the anointing, there's a way in which you seek God. Those of us who preach, I think we came to that conclusion long ago. Long ago. In my work, half the time, I don't know who I'm going to talk to. I've never seen them before. I don't know them. I don't know their churches. As I went to Malawi, I was there when they said, oh, those who have come from Zambia stand. Those who have come from Zimbabwe stand. As I said, you know. Me, what I knew was that I was going to Pastor Issa's church. Are you there? Yeah. So how are you now going to say anything that is of any importance to them? Unless the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit. Unless the anointing. Are you in the church? I'm talking to some people this morning, no? So you need to have a conviction. You need to understand that. You need to understand that, yes, I am a student, but I need this Holy Spirit to be with me. I need to get into Him. I need to understand how He works. You see, and you do not understand that as you are moving with Him in the church, what is actually happening is that you are getting to understand Him and how He is and how He maneuvers. You are waiting to understand Him when you are outside the exam room. It's not helping you. Amen.
Amen.
Conviction. That's the first way to change your level. Conviction. I need you. I need you. No matter what I'm doing, I need you. The second thing to changing your level, you must know how to ask questions. You must know how to ask questions. These people asked Peter a very interesting question. They said, what shall we do? This question, it will really help you. We are too proud to ask it. Are you there? You have come to church. You have come with a foolish question. So, who was Adam's mother? How can it help you? How can it help you? I have an answer for you. The Bible says that the things that we are supposed to know, He has allowed us to know them. So there are some things that we don't know. But how does it help you? How does it change anything about your worship of God? I mean, it's a question I'm asking you. So you came there, you come to come and challenge us that who is the mother of Adam? Cain, who was his wife? I'll give you an answer now. I don't know and I don't care. Because it doesn't affect my life in any way. So if I knew that her name was Zerubbabel, what is it going to do for me? What's it going to change for me? Please tell your neighbor, ask questions with sense, sensible questions. Because many of you, and in fact, even those given things to do in church, they don't ask you what they are supposed to do. Then you are doing your own something. And the thing is not working. And we give you a feedback that it's not working. But because you have failed to ask the question, what shall we do? If the sound people had asked me a question, I would have given them an answer what they should do. The people who are always on fire. Every Sunday I'm quarreling with them. Are you there? Yeah. And it's not because they don't work hard. Oh, peoples, don't you work hard? Yeah. But you didn't ask a certain question. If the photographers ask the question, what shall we do? What shall we do? It's a very potent question. So some questions that you ask, they will give you a certain answer. You see, when you come and ask a question that we need 400 pages of a book to answer. The church has become very quiet. You have come to ask me questions like it's an interview. Not as if you are in need. What shall we do? It is a major question. Holy Spirit, what should I do? Lady Reverend, what should I do? You have been given something. What should I do? You see, it takes humility to ask certain questions. Because when you say, what shall I do? It's like, I don't know what to do. But as you have come, you have rather come to manifest to show us that you know what to do. That's why many times skilled instrumentalists will put them aside for those who are not so skilled. Oh, not true. One time, we'll bench you right now. Right now. Why? Don't you like skilled people? A skilled person who doesn't keep his eye on the person directing is useless. We have absolutely no use for you. Completely no use. We can't do anything with you. Because you are not an island that is there. Yay, the church has become very quiet. We did not bring you here to show your skill. That's not why we brought you here. That belongs to the world and all that it has. But if you will do your part and ask the right question, you will suddenly see yourself going to places. Our Father has his own private, what should I call them? Are they a band? Yeah. He has his own personal band that he uses when he wants to go and win his own personal souls in places. That band has 4 people from our church in it. Yeah. Are you there? Meanwhile, I can tell you that our Father has more than enough skilled people. So I can tell you it's not just skill. But that thing, what shall we do? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to do it? When do you want us to do it? In which way do you want us to do it? Learn to ask questions that will change the anointing level on your life. Yeah. Hey. The church has become very quiet. Yeah. This morning as they were busy grading the different basantes, there are basantes you have lost marks, and I can tell you why. You have arrived here, you won't smile. But tell Max, Dada. You are a basanta. I was trusting you to have an all night and pray. You didn't come. Matthew Max. I've told you, Max. Matthew Max. So social media, you should know that you won't. I don't mind what you draw. You have told you, Max. Because I was believing and trusting in social media that you'll be part of those who come and pray. You didn't come. You should have asked, what shall we do? Then you would have understood that as a church, prayer is the most important thing to us. We can't do anything without prayer. Where are we going without prayer? What are we going to do without prayer? Who are we without prayer? You see, you have not stood where I've stood before. I've stood on a pulpit before. In a major meeting. Major meeting. I opened my mouth and one sound didn't come. I had lost my voice and the voice said, me, I'm going. You can prepare all you like. Are you in the church? Please tell your neighbor, ask sensible questions. Tell your neighbor, the questions you have been asking, they have not helped you. The questions you have been asking. You are wondering why we have not used you as a lead singer. The question is not, MD, why have you not chosen me as lead singer? The question to the MD is, MD, how can I improve my singing? That is the question. That is the question. Not every day, you are choosing the same people, every day the same people. You are me, I'm there. I can even hit a higher note. You have not been collecting me. I'm going. Pack your things and go. You will meet it on the other side of the world. Are you here? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, ask questions with sense. Ask questions with sense. Oh, Bible, be some question. It's a context question. How is it going to help you? How is it going to help you? What has happened to my screen? Allow me to read. Asking foolish questions will not lead you to the anointing. Many people ask foolish questions like, where do you live? What car do you drive? Don't you ever get tired? These are foolish questions because they have no bearing on the anointing. Others ask questions like, how are you able to maintain your zeal all these years? How are you able to write the books you do? How are you able to combine the ministry with other aspects of life? You see, the answer to these questions can be the content of an entire 400-page book. How are you expected to genuinely answer these questions in 1 minute? Are you there? A foolish question is also a question whose answer you are not really interested in. Why are you asking questions that you are not really interested in? I mean, people have asked me questions. As the answer is coming, they are already getting ready to ask their next question. I know that you didn't come looking for an answer. You were just coming to waste my time. The third and last point. A change of mind will lead to a change of anointing levels. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that's the following scripture. When the people asked Peter, what shall we do? Then they answered. Peter answered, repent. Repent. To repent is actually to change your mind. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Change your mind. Some of you, you have been here all this time. You can see that you are in a good church, and yet you have not changed your mind to become serious with the Lord. Change your mind. What is the use of a mind that cannot be changed? And ushers, what is the use of your ushering when somebody is outside on his phone and you are an usher standing there? What's your use? What is the use of a mind that cannot change? Are you here? So repentance is talking about changing your mind. If you will change your mind and say that the anointing is something I need for my life, a lot of things will change. The Holy Spirit, he comes where he is wanted, where he is invited, where he is needed. Are you there? He will arrive. He will arrive. I tell you, walking with him is a very exciting journey. Recently, when I went on this trip, I was preaching. And in the middle of my preaching, he gave me a scripture. I had preached on it before, but it was not part of that morning's deliberations. So I just went to that scripture and I just diverted that way. After all, the Holy Spirit was leading me. In the middle of my preaching, I had not anointed anybody with oil because my purpose there was to teach. And as for Africans, we like impartation because we don't like to do anything. We just want to receive it for free. So impartation was not on my mind. Then I just heard the Holy Spirit in my ear, get the oil and pour it on this woman. There was a lady there from a certain town. Are you there? So, mine is to obey. Change your mind. My mind was not to anoint anybody. Change your mind. I changed my mind because the person who was in charge is giving instructions. I poured the oil on the lady, a few others, whatever, and we went on. The lady asked to see me. And the next day, she came to tell me an incredible story. Are you here? Now that I'm going to tell the story, I want to hear this story. The lady suddenly said to me, she came with her husband, and she said prior to the meeting, because they were going to travel 6 hours to reach the meeting place, they had gone to a place where they go to pray. She had gone with her husband. May you marry a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. And she said, while she was praying, the Lord gave her that same scripture, Revelation chapter 10. And gave her from verse 1 to 11 and showed her something. And she asked her husband, can you draw what I'm seeing? And the husband drew it. The drawing resembled probably how you would draw chapter verse 1, verse 2. Are you there? So they made a picture of that drawing and they brought it to the pastor, my host. And they had already given it to him. And she told me that. While she prayed, the Lord told her that that scripture is her scripture that is in the meeting. Then the Lord showed her a picture I have never seen her in my life. And in the picture, she saw me coming towards her with oil. And the Lord said to her that I have sent an angel with your oil and they will pour it over you. I remember as I poured the oil over her, she was smiling. I couldn't tell why. But to her, it was a confirmation. I thanked God that in the middle of what I was doing, I could change my mind. Amen. I could change my mind. Many of you, you are so young and already your mind is fixed on even on things that will not help you. You are so young and you are already saying things like, Amy, dear, I don't like this, I don't like that. What do you know about it? As you have just arrived. As you have just come. Me, I don't like the one of the ones that I like the most. Me, I don't like guys who are like this. May God give you exactly what you don't like. Ah. Me, I don't like girls who are like this. I don't. What do you know about it? What you don't know is that marriage is not according to waist size, hip size, or anything else height. It's not according to height. It's not according to the presence or the absence of beard. Ah! And then now God is bringing you the one who is correct for you, and you are sitting down there telling us that, me dear, I know. Don't ever be quiet over there and change your mind. Am I talking to somebody? When I was young, like you, I had a list. My list had 10 things on it. Of the 10 things on the list, God gave me a man who met only 2 of them. Yes. But today, 38 solid years after, I thank God I could change my mind and leave my list and accept what God had given to me. Because what I did not know was that there were 8 non-significant points on my list. When you are young, what you think is important, it's not important. It's not important at all. I tell you, it's not important. I tell you, whether he has a beard or not, it's a completely insignificant point. Lady Rev, what does the beard do in the marriage? LP Joanne, in the marriage, what does the beard do? It doesn't do anything. Doesn't do anything. It is of no consequence in a marriage. Only what? Only for photo shoots that we need a beard. And even that one, cry. The day we are doing the photo shoots, you have shaved, so the beard was not even there. No, are you understanding what I'm saying to you? There are far more important points. Far more important things. God knew that it was more important that I should marry somebody who believes in missions. At that time, I didn't know anything about missions. Yeah. So it was not on my list. I didn't know anything about it. Are you going to change your mind or not? Today, I need you to change your... Please, take this picture off. We are not doing a... Today, I need you to change your mind and to understand that what you need is the Holy Spirit. That is who you need. You need to know him. You need to understand him. You need to be able to live your life with him leading you. And the only way to do that is to get used to him. That is why the things in church are so important. Because if it was by praying that you got to know him, if you remove prayer, you wouldn't know him. Even what I'm saying, you didn't know it before you came. You would never have heard it. Most of you, if you didn't join this church, you would never have known who the Holy Spirit is. You would never have known. Don't even kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Don't even kid yourself at all. Am I talking to some people in the church? I need you to change your mind. Change your mind. Not for my sake, for yours. For your sake. I'm talking to somebody today. Hey, are you there? Yeah, we need the Holy Spirit. I tell you, he's the best though. He's the best. If I'm going into a meeting and he has not spoken, I'm not sure I'll go. I'm not sure I'll go at all. What are you going to say? What are you going to say that's relevant? Yeah, he adds the relevance to our lives. Am I talking to somebody? Yeah. So I want you to remember these 3 things. Let's just go over it. Number 1, you're trying to change your anointing level. And the first point, be convicted. Be convicted. Number 2, ask questions. Let me say, ask sensible questions. And number 3, change your mind. Change your mind. Young lady, you are in a relationship with somebody, you can see it's not working, it's not good. Don't come and tell me that I can't stop. You can't stop. The reason why you are saying you can't stop is because you don't know the Holy Ghost. If you knew him, you would know who to appeal to help you. Holy Spirit, help me. Young man, don't come and tell me you cannot stop masturbating. If you knew him, I'm very serious about what I'm saying this morning. The reason you are still masturbating is because you don't know him. If you knew him, you would have spoken to him. And as you're on your way, he would have known what to do. He would just interrupt. You'll be there, or you are free. It's him you don't know. And so change your mind today and decide that, look, I'm going to get to know this Holy Ghost, this Holy Spirit. I'm going to get to know him. Amen. I'm going to do whatever it takes to know him. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be where he is, where I know he is. He may not be here in my room because of the way we do our things, but I know that he'll show up when we meet together somewhere. I'm going to be part. I'm going to do it. And may the Lord help us all. Amen. Stand to your feet. This morning, I want you to pray. Pray that you will get to understand who the Holy Spirit is more. Pray that you get to understand him. Pray that you will get to know that. Ask him to give you a conviction. Lord, the way I am, I just need you to dip inside and just change me. Change me. I need a conviction. Sam, help me. Help me to change the questions I've been asking. I've now seen that. Please, the 3 points, you should just leave them there. You can see that that's what we are working with. I should learn to ask sensible questions. And help me to change my mind. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Lift your voice. You are in church. Lift it and begin to pray. Lift your voice. We are beginning to pray. Lift your voice. We are praying. We are not whispering. We are playing. Praying. Lift up your voice and pray. You are in church. We need a microphone here.
Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice and pray. Lift up your voice this morning and pray. Pray that you be convicted. Pray that the Holy Spirit convict you. Pray for the help of the Holy Spirit that you will ask sensible questions that will lead to the increasing of your anointing. Lift up your voice this morning. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Even as you pray, the Lord is hearing your prayer. He says, call on me and I'll answer. Pray for the help of the Holy Spirit to help you change your mind on certain decisions you've taken. Decisions that will lead to death. But even as you pray for the help of the Holy Spirit, he's changing your mind and he's helping you take decisions that will lead to life. Lift up your voice this morning and pray. Pray. Lift up your voice. Holy Spirit, man, the breeze, I'm on my shimmy in there.
Father, we just commit ourselves to you. We ask that your Spirit will lead us, guide us, help us, convict us, change us. Thank you so much, Lord, for the Spirit that you've given to us to be with us until the end. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. And now as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, those of you tampering with my sound, I don't think I'm excited. As every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You have been in church all this time. You've not given your life to Jesus. It's time to change your mind. You are not convicted that you need Jesus, it is time to change your mind. And so as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, this morning I want to invite you on this special Sunday to give your life to Jesus. Just lift up your right hand where you are. Just lift it. You want to pray. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. God bless you. God bless you. Just lift it. Just lift it. Just lift it. If your hand is up, maybe I cannot even see you, but I want you to come from where you are. Just come to me. We're going to pray a prayer. Just come. We're going to pray a prayer this morning. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to pray a prayer this morning. This morning, we are making a change. Your heart is beating. That is the Lord talking to you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's saying that if you answer, he'll come in and sup with you. Revelations 3:20. Come right now and let us pray.
Way. Oh, come on,
just
to Jesus.
Just come.
Come on, just come.
Just come from where you are. I'm still waiting for you.
Give him your life today. Oh, come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus.
For those of you standing in front, I want you to pray this prayer. Just follow me, but make it your prayer. And those of you in the congregation, you can help us. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me. Cleanse me from my sin. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you for these young men who have come to give their lives to you. I pray, oh God, that your grace will be with them. Let them get to know your Spirit on a personal basis. Change their lives, and may they always be glad that they came forward today in Jesus' name. Amen.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCIUDIASE. God richly bless you.